But saints of God, I thank God that we are all alive today, that He had brought us throughout this week. He had kept us on our ways when we left our house, went to work, went to school, went on our businesses, and He has been faithful. So let me hear the people say amen. God is good. And all the time God is good. I personally, I'm always grateful to be here. To be able to be used by God. He has been really, really good to me. I've been out for a while, but God has kept me. I've been going through, but God has seen me through every day. And His faithfulness, my friends, His faithfulness is something that I've come to learn not to take for granted. Today He has allowed me to share His words with you. The title of this message this morning is Intensely Practical. Let us pray. Sweet God, have your own way now. We wait upon you to hear a word. Fail us not. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a prayer a young lady prayed. She said, "Dear Lord, you know my needs, and I am leaving this in your hands." Have you ever been trying to overcome something? Have you ever been praying for days or for weeks or for years to see a result, a particular result, but it's taking time? Have you ever have a friend who is sick? Have you ever have a family member that has died because of some ailment? And you wonder to yourself, why does these things happen? Saints of God, the Bible is clear of the kind of world that we live in today. The message is coming to us from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. The verses that was read, 18 and 19, it says, reading from the King James Version, "Praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse 19 says, "And for me," Paul is speaking here, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Saints of God, the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesus. And the Ephesian church came from a background where the people and the culture that they lived in, they were fascinated with ancient magic and ancient cults. Ancient religion, even the Jews at that time, from the first century era, saints had a world view. Oh, they saw the world. They saw God high in the heaven and mankind on earth. But somewhere between where God sits, somewhere between where other religions saw their gods, and where we men are, they, my friends, saw a multi-layered heavenly realm. And that multi-layered heavenly realm was inhabited by various spirits. That's how the New Testament first century people of Rome think. Therefore, in their culture, in the Greek or Roman world, where Ephesians was written, the church of Ephesus was in that era. And they, my friends, they put great stock and great value on the practices of spells and the practices of magic, both Jews and Gentiles. Some time ago in a sermon Pastor Wright preached, he told us that Ellen White wrote that the time of Jesus was a time when demons ravaged the earth. And if we look carefully when reading the word of God, we will see oftentimes that Jesus himself and the apostles cast out demons, evil spirits, from the bodies of people. Therefore, my friends, the Bible tells us that in order for God, in order for the apostles, in order for Jesus to combat these evil spirits that took control of the bodies of human beings, the Holy Spirit had to double his effort in setting people free. My friend, the book of Acts tells us that. When we look in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, you can turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 19. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 19, my friends. As we look in the book of Acts, chapter 19 and verse 11. The Bible says, reading from the King James Version, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit," what did the Bible say, saints? It said the evil spirit did what? Went out of them. My friends, clearly, the Bible here let us know that evil spirits inhabited the people back then. Also in Acts chapter 5, verse 6, we will see, my friends, that in order for the Holy Spirit to be successful in setting people free, the effort of the Holy Spirit had to be doubled. The holy apostles of God, the Bible tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, before he departed to heaven, he spoke to the apostles and he told them that when I leave, you will do greater works than I did. Now, the Bible did not record that Christ set people free just by the shadow, but even in Acts chapter 5, my friends, the Bible tells us that people who were sick, they would brought their loved ones and lay them on the street side, that when the apostles would walk by, even their very shadow, the Bible said, would heal the people. My friends, the point where I want us to understand that from the beginning of the church, from the birth of the church of God, the Bible makes it clear that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But what we wrestle against, saints of God, is not my brother sitting here or my sister. Or oftentimes we find ourselves in conflict with each other or one another. My friends, that's not who we are fighting against. The Bible says we wrestle against evil spirits. We wrestle against forces that is beyond us. The power that they have, we as human beings cannot contend with those forces. The people of Ephesians, they have the habits like many of us do today when we find ourselves in need of extraordinary or in need of something supernatural to happen. We do not normally turn first to God. Back then, my friends, the culture of the church in Ephesus, people would go to those who practice black magics. people, my friends, would go to those who they call the witch doctors. People would go to those who they see as the palm reader, the sorcerers. But my friends, I want us to know today that man will fail us. The witch doctor cannot bring about the healing and the deliverance and the protection that we need. God, my friends, had to use a radical yet an intensely practical method to gain the attention of the people in Ephesus and to change their worldview. So those who practice the black magic, those who grew up relying on sorcerers to do supernatural things for them, when they came to know of Jesus Christ, the Savior, God had to work on their mind to change their worldview, to teach them that the way that they have been doing things is not the right way, to let them know that there is a power that is made available through the name of Jesus. The same power, saints of God, what I want us to understand today, the same power that the apostles had then is available to us today. The same spirits, the same evil spirits that took control of the bodies and the lives and plague human beings in the first century church, those same spirits are around us today. What God wanted the church in Ephesus to recognize, saints, and to understand is that the unlimited power of Jesus Christ is the power that they are to turn to. And this, my friends, brings me to the first point in this passage of scripture. The first thing for us to understand in the spiritual warfare, my friends, is to recognize and understand the game plan of the enemy. Now, we are reminded that the same spiritual demons that were back then are here today. The saints, after Paul in Ephesians was through teaching about the doctrinal subjects, he moved into the conclusion in chapter 6, and all saints are to be successful in the spiritual warfare. My friend, this is called for some radicalism. What I'm saying, it is essential to recognize this reality that the enemy is out to destroy us. The enemy wants your soul. The enemy wants your body. The enemy allows us and plays on our minds and gets us to a point oftentimes where we fool ourselves and do acts and things that harm ourselves, harm even our family members, harm even our friends and our loved ones. And oftentimes we do not see the bigger picture of what he's doing. But my friends, we are not to be complacent in our thinking, never to believe that because the devil came after you last week and you had the victory, he will not come after you this week. As Christian saints, as Christians, the enemy desires to sift our husbands, our wives, our children. The enemy uses our co-workers. He uses our own family members to get to us, to get to the best of us. Sometimes we see it coming and we pray, but something still happens. What are we wrestling against, therefore. The Bible tells us that we are wrestling against the schemes of the enemy. What and how are those schemes manifested to us? The Bible tells us, my friends, that those schemes of the enemy, of the devil, manifest itself in rulers of darkness, spiritual authorities, cosmic power. We are fighting against the spiritual forces of evil who are exceedingly powerful. We are fighting against saints of God, spiritual forces of evil who are exceedingly powerful. So powerful in their exercise in the cosmic power over the present darkness, the Bible tells us. The enemy, my friends, he hates us. He wants to get us out. When we come to church with the theme, save to serve, the enemy wants to distract us. And how he does that? He does that oftentimes by our habits. Some of us love to engage in hours of movie watching. Some of us love to listen to some kind of music that reminds us of nothing of the grace of God. My friends, some of us find ourselves idle, wasting times when we have precious times on our hand. But the Bible wants us to always be cognizant that the enemy is out to snatch us. When Christ prayed for Peter and he told him that the devil is after you to sift your soul, Christ is also saying that same thing to us, that the enemy is after you to sift your soul. Remember, Pastor Wright recently told us in a sermon that God has a purpose for each and every person alive in the church today. But remember that even though God himself has a purpose for you, my sister, and you, my brother, the devil himself also has a plan for your life. So then, how can we be successful in combating that plan for the enemy? My friend, that brings me to my second point, which is intensify your stand. Now the Bible tells us that upon recognizing that we are fighting a spiritual warfare, saints, the Bible wants us to understand clearly that in no means, Sister Sonia, are we to rely on our own wisdom. In no means are we to rely on our own abilities and our own powers. What the Bible wants us to do, as Paul cautioned the saints in Ephesus, is the same thing God is saying to us. Take on the old armor. Be intensely practical in fighting against these spiritual warfare. Intensify your stand. What that means also, saints, is that in order for us to become successful in praying, as I mentioned in the beginning, that sometimes we pray and we pray and we do not see some results happening. What God wants us to understand is that oftentimes we need to change our strategies. We need to go back to the war room. We need to go back to the drawing board and check how we are doing things. Maybe we need to change some friends and companions that we have, some people we hang out with. Maybe we need to get rid of the smartphones, the television in the house. Maybe we don't longer need to go to some places or do the stuff that we have been doing. Maybe we just need to spend a little more time reading the Word of God. Maybe, my friends, we need to make ourselves a prayer room. You know, I went and watched a movie called War Room. It's a powerful movie. The message behind it, saints, it depicts a family, a husband, a wife, who are going through a marital problem. And oftentimes we find ourselves trying to argue our situation, trying to prove our point, trying to take our right stand, trying to say, yes, I'm right, and doing things the way we know how to. But what the movie shows, saints, is that we don't need to fight the battle for ourselves. All we need to do is to pray and allow Jesus Christ to fight on our behalf. You know, saints of God, being saved is one thing. Being called to ministry is another thing. And also being called to ministry, being saved, being married, having children is a totally other thing, my friend. The enemy oftentimes uses your children, your spouses, people who are the closest to you to get to you. And oftentimes we fight those battles, we wrestle. But how can we stand? How can we be successful? We must pray. Spend time in the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to dress for combat, for the call of duty for which we have been saved. God's strength is required. Our obligatory task is to fight as Christians. But what kind of fight? The fight, my friends, that we need to fight is to stand on the promises of Christ our King. The fight that we need to fight, my friend, is to stand on Christ, the solid rock. The fight that we need to fight is to live on our knees daily. Take up the sword, the Bible says, of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, I am able to be here today. When I got saved at age 15, 28, 19 of us got saved in that one evangelistic series. And within less than 2 years, it was just I who remained in the church. Now, I'm not bragging. But being practical, how am I, or how was I able to remain saints? In the beginning, when I just started going to church as a teenager, I used to read the Bible every day. Every day. And the Spirit of God would bring back to memory the things that I would have studied. And so when I was tempted by my peers into doing the same thing I used to do, I was able to stand firm on the Word of God. The Spirit was able to bring back to memory the things that I should be doing and the things that I should not be doing, the way I should be living, the life I should portray as a new believer. That's how I'm able to be here. Be practical in our stand against the enemy. Now, saints, Satan's onslaught on God's people never stops. Ever. Never stops. The devil, my friend, always has a trap for us. That's why the Bible tells us that every morning we ought to go back to God for a new mercy, to fight a new battle on a new day. Or even though the enemy, saints, have a trap for us, I thank God today, my friends. I thank God today that Jesus never leaves us by ourselves. For the Bible tells us that when we stand to fight against these evil forces, rulers of darkness, the Bible says God has made it possible and has equipped us with the necessary tool, our battle armor. The Bible says here, my friends, that we are to put on the belt of truth. When the enemy comes to attack us, my friends, we must have on the breastplate of righteousness at all times. And if we need to run, the Bible says, always have on your feet the shoe of the gospel. Be ready to tell somebody why you believe in what you believe. The Bible also goes on, saints, to make it clear that the enemy will constantly be attacking you. But God doesn't leave you open. He says he gave you the shield of faith to protect yourself. Protect yourself from those who pray evil against you. Protect yourself from that coworker who desire to see you go down. Protect yourself from that same family member who always lie on you. Protect yourself, my friends, with the faith of the shield of faith. And sometimes even in the same music and the television, the movies and all of that we watch, the devil come to play with our mind. How can you guard your mind? The Bible says, always have on the helmet of righteousness, of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And most importantly, the only attacking weapon that God gave us. You see, all the armor that God provides for us. The shield, the belt, the helmet, the breastplate. All of that is to protect yourself. But the one thing that God gave us, my friends, to attack the enemy is the word, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So when the enemy, my friends, comes to you and tell you that you are nothing, or you are failures today, and he reminds you that your soul is going down, remind him with the sword of the word of God that though you're a sinner, Christ has died for you. When he comes again to attack you and to set up traps and you find yourself failing again, remind the enemy that though, my friends, we stumble and fall, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse you. Saints of God, my last point is to make it practical. Make it practical. So, we have been assigned on business. We are considered active military personnel existing in some extreme degrees of warfare. The idea here is we need not only saints. The message here is that we don't only need the divine equipment. We do not only need saints to put on the armor. That's not the only requirement. But what is required, saints? The equipment in its completeness will not be effective if you and I do not have a personal relationship with Christ. So as much as we can stand and proclaim, saints, that yay, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a saint. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Yes, I know the Sabbath. As much as you and I can stand and proclaim that, if you don't know Christ for yourself, if you, saints, if you are not connected to the source, the powerhouse, like these lights here are connected. If they are not connected, they cannot shine. If you are not connected, you cannot stand. If you are not connected, you in no way can be successful. Therefore, in practical terms, we cannot be part-time a one-day Christian. No. We cannot through the week find ourselves doing all manner of things. But when it comes to Friday evening, holy and just we become, that will not work. Saints, in no way are we required to be serving on the board of elders. But when we are asked to serve as a lowly deacon in assisting, my friends, in bathroom duties, we cannot do that. We are too big and high for that. That's not the service or the servanthood that God wants us to portray. No way. This is where the battle is fought, in our mind. That's where the enemy comes to attack us most. So then, I encourage our saints to make it practical. Live on your knees in prayer. The key verse for the sermon comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6. After all, Paul said, put on the armor. Take up the shield. Take up the sword. Take up the helmet. Stand firmly. After all that, Paul says, my friends, in verse 18, praying always. Praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. Paul says, on top of praying, watching always, in all perseverance. Is he saying, my friends, in other words, in all circumstances, whether things are going good, be praying. Whether things are going bad, find yourself praying. Don't wait until you need a friend to seek a friend. Don't wait until you find yourself cornered by the enemy. You will cry out, be prepared all time. Live constantly in a life of prayer and gratitude with God. That's how we'll be able to stand. You know, saints, before I close, I've worked in many crusades. And where I'm from, as I've said before, is in the inner city of Kingston, Jamaica, where the crime and the violence is high. And I can recall times, my friends, when I was out there serving the Lord, the evil would stand right in front of me, challenge me to leave my house, challenge me to walk out, challenge me to go and tell somebody about God. And people would come to me and say, aren't you afraid of your life? You are being foolish in walking on the street. But I had to look on them and face them and tell them that I'm not afraid of what men can do to me, but I'm protected. God says, my friends, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I remember times I was fearful for my life. When I'm walking the street, you will not see a soul. Nothing. But I had to stand and pray and depend and rely firmly on the promises of God. That's how he saw me through. And today, saints, we are challenged to make our Christian walk practical, not only practical, but intensify our efforts in being that person that God wants us to be. And so as I close, for you and I to experience a radical results, you and I must make radical decisions. Some changes must be made in our lives for us to move from one level to the other. I've gone to seminars, my friends, where both men and women are battling spiritual battles. And something have been said, but one thing stands out for me from a recent seminar I've gone to. It says, in order for us to be successful in the things that we desire are to overcome spiritual warfare, saints, some of us must make some radical change. It means that some of us might have to change our job. We might have to give up on the career that we so love. Some of us might have to change even the place that we live. Move even from one state to another. It has been said, my friend, that some people might have to move from one continent even to another. That's a radical decision to make. But if we desire to be successful saints, we got to do it. Be intensely practical in our spiritual lives. Amen.